Hello, everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. Now, I know I said I would try to do an episode on the investigation I went to a few weeks ago, but I found out they will be doing monthly investigations, which is so exciting. So I want to try to go to another one before doing an episode on it. I want to compare the experiences because with the museum having so many haunted items, they want to focus on a different specific item each time, which is super cool. So just bear with me. I'll work on getting an episode together for that. But tonight, on episode 22, I'll be telling you about the old Yoakum Hospital in Yoakum, Texas. It started out as Yoakum Community Hospital and was built in 1922. The original building is abandoned, and a first expansion was completed in 1950, then a second expansion in 1966, so there is now a newer location. Yoakum, Texas is located east of San Antonio. From where I am in Austin, it's about less than a two-hour drive. Honestly, I don't even remember how I came across this hospital and the history. I remember being on YouTube and videos of paranormal investigations at this hospital popped up and I started watching. I think what caught my attention was that at the time there was a paranormal investigation group that offered tickets you could purchase to stay overnight and do an investigation with them. I just never went because I didn't want to go alone and I couldn't find anyone to go with me. But let's talk more about the history and hauntings of Old Yoakum Hospital. Yoakum started out as an area for gathering cattle, and then in 1887, the area grew due to the construction of the San Antonio and Aransas Pass Railway, and named for the vice president of the line, Benjamin F. Yoakum. The town started to expand with a roadhouse, maintenance, and many workers. The town was incorporated in 1889, and by 1896, there was a church, a bank, cotton mills, stores, newspaper, and a school system. The population was 7,500 by the year 1914. In the 20th century, there were many industries, including a dairy, food processing plants, and metal shops. By 1926, Yoakum, Texas was known as the tomato capital of South Central Texas. Yoakum had 170 businesses by the year 1970. In 1933, the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament of Victoria took over management of the hospital until 1984, when they decided they could no longer manage the hospital. In 1996, the Yoakum Hospital District assumed responsibility. Hospital Auxiliary was created in order to upgrade the facility and purchase equipment. 200 members paid $1 in dues annually. Since there was no money besides this, these dues helped them raise money for various instruments and hospital supplies. Some of the women would go to the hospital a few times a week to help make sponges, cotton balls, and other supplies. Once the hospital started growing with patients and staff, it became too small to accommodate everything, so that's when the expansion started, and they were able to build a new facility going from 13 beds to 25. The hospital ended up with an x-ray department, emergency room, labs, and more patient rooms after the full expansion. I believe the first floor is the emergency room, and the second floor is the nursery, physical therapy, intensive care unit, patient rooms, and the nurse's station. Full completion of the new location was in July 1997 at 53,000 square feet. Another 21,000 square feet was added in 2014 for the medical office building.
We traveled to Yoakum, Texas. Claims of a mysterious blue nun, dark figures permeate these walls.
So why is this place haunted? A couple of popular spirits that haunt the abandoned hospital are a nurse who was killed by her husband in the hospital, and a priest, Father Charles W. Cram. He died from polio and was the hospital chaplain for 25 years. People report seeing him in the old chapel on the first floor, and apparently his wheelchair is still in that area, not to mention a number of deceased staff members and patients. So the woman killed was 23-year-old Laura Lynn Heights, a nursing student who was shot by her husband on the second floor of the hospital on March 6, 1990. People have reported seeing her roaming around the second floor, and they catch EVPs of her talking. Here's the article from the Victoria Advocate on Wednesday, March 7, 1990. A Shiner woman died Tuesday morning from a gunshot wound she received in Yoakum Community Hospital's second floor waiting room. Yoakum Police Chief Tommy Lynn said his department received a phone call at 8:46 a.m. about the shooting of Laura Lynn Heights, 23, a vocational nursing student at the hospital. Lynn said the woman died shortly after 9 a.m., despite being taken to the intensive care unit of the hospital. Mrs. Heights died apparently from a small caliber bullet wound to the head. Based on information provided by witnesses, Lavaca County Precinct Justice of the Peace, W.H. McGill, issued a warrant for the arrest of Gregory Ray Heights, 24, of Shiner, the woman's husband. Lynn said there were no witnesses to the actual shooting, but the gunshot was heard and Heights was placed at the scene, although Heights was not at the hospital when the police arrived. Lynn said another phone call was received informing the whereabouts of Heights, his mother's residence in Shiner. Expecting resistance, a sizable force including Lynn, Dennis Kleckler of the Shiner Police Department, Lavaca County Sheriff Larry Minkowski, and deputies Ed Kubisek, Bill Chenault, Bert Fuller, Moulton Police Chief Mark Zimmerman, and Officer Randy Mikan and Paul Wagner of the Texas Department of Public Safety went to the suspect's location. Lynn said he called the suspect on a megaphone to give up, and Heights exited the house and gave up peacefully to be charged with first-degree murder. Heights is believed to have had marital problems, according to Lynn. Lynn said the couple's three children remain with their grandparents. Precinct 3 Justice of the Peace James O'Connor and Shiner set bond at $50,000. Heights was taken first to the Yoakum Police Department for questioning and then transferred to the Lavaca County Jail. Lynn said a .22 caliber revolver was recovered, and apparently after his sentencing of 99 years in prison, he hung himself. There are many original items still in the abandoned hospital, including an old surgery schedule, old medical equipment, and many other voices being heard from former patients who passed calling out for help, and even the director of nursing that still haunts this abandoned hospital. Once I started looking up videos on this haunted location, I can tell you that most of the videos I've watched captured a lot of paranormal activity within their investigations. A lot of people will go in with infiltration masks or respirators due to the poor air quality. The building has been abandoned for so long, so this helps them breathe better since they're inside for a while. Here are some things that I could hear in these videos. EVPs of screaming, moans, children's voices, and the investigators could feel cold spots and catch pictures of full-bodied apparitions and seeing shadows during the investigations. There are a lot of videos online. Literally just Google Old Yoakum Hospital and you can watch full videos from different paranormal groups. There is also a full episode of Strange Town Season 2 Episode 5. It's on YouTube. And also video.pbs12.org if you want to watch that video. There are some interesting clips that I will insert in this episode as well. In some of the videos, you can see orbs floating around, hear words on the spirit box. I mean, these words and EVPs are loud and clear, like they are there with the group. There were nuns back in the day that worked at the hospital. They can see and hear some of the nuns on their investigations. I like when they insert pictures they took or replay video of some of the shadows they see. It's so creepy because some of them you can see plain as day. Now in one of the videos, an investigator saw the nurse who was murdered, so she started screaming, and after she told everyone what she saw, she left the investigation. She was done. I probably would have left too. There was a moment where there were loud noises of drawers opening and closing in some of the rooms outside of where the group was. They tried to debunk it, but they couldn't. I think it sounded to them like someone was looking for something in the drawers, like loud banging sounds. Hey, listen, sometimes it is what it is. I'm just saying, if you knew everybody was together in one room and there was nobody else outside, it probably wasn't anybody within your group making those noises. Then they would ask if anyone was present, please knock on something, and immediately you would hear knocking. I don't know, that would freak me out if they actually did what I asked. I think I've seen a couple of investigations where the group split up and then someone gets really sick in one of the areas. Headache, nausea, coughing. First of all, I'm not splitting up, nothing. I'm gonna be right up under somebody else. I'm not about to be roaming free by myself in a place like that. Absolutely not. In one video, they ended up making the person come back to the first floor where all of their belongings were so that they could rest and rehydrate and stuff. This seems so common with very strong energy that's present. A lot of anxiety too, like throwing up, all the above. And that really sucks because you can't even enjoy the experience anymore once you get sick like that. Eventually it goes away, but I'd be so mad. There was one video I saw that really shocked me though. So this group split up, but they were in smaller groups on different floors, and someone speaks through the walkie-talkie, and it was loud and clear. But then they all met up and asked who was talking, and it was none of them. So someone had said something really specific, I don't remember what they said, but a voice responded, but it was none of their voices. It literally sounded like one of them, and I didn't even realize it wasn't until they were like, who said that? And then they pointed out that somebody had responded to what they were saying, but it was nobody in their group. Investigators have experienced feelings of being hit or punched, hearing heavy breathing and feeling their clothes being tugged on, and a really common one, equipment dying even though it was fully charged or had new batteries put in, like cameras, lights, and other things they use to record activity, like the energy from the spirits is draining everything. Crazy story. When I was actually recording this segment, I went to edit, and right in the middle of editing, my app crashed. I was able to save my progress, but then when I went back to finish editing, I couldn't edit, I couldn't play the segment or anything. Everything else worked fine, all the other segments that I recorded, just not this specific one, which was weird because it just happened to be the one where I'm talking about the hauntings of the hospital. So I restarted everything, tried again, and it still wouldn't work, so I ended up having to delete it and re-record it. I just thought that was pretty crazy that as I was editing this segment talking about all the spirits and ghosts and everything, that my app just crashed and I had to start over. Now, when I was hearing voices during these videos, I literally was thinking it was someone within the group until they would put a side note that it was an EVP captured. What's really creepy about the EVPs is when they don't sound like a normal voice, they sound distorted, or they sound like they're singing when they're saying phrases, but in a whisper. It's so creepy. Now, here are some clips from the show Strange Town when they investigated the old Yoakum Hospital.
This is the actual emergency room right here. Lots of EVPs in this room, screaming, moaning, and cold spots.
Here in the emergency department, I guess, we had come down here and was investigating this area. And we had gone into this room, I believe it's a surgery room. We hadn't had really any experiences in there until we came out and we started hearing children laughing and playing and sounded like they were upstairs. So one of the other investigators went to check it out. He went further down the hallway, and I was kind of standing like right about here and was just kind of listening. And as I was standing here listening, I felt like a child would come up and try to get your attention. I felt three taps on my wrist, and I kind of brushed it off for a second, and then it happened again. Three little taps on my wrist. And I'm like, okay, something's going on. So I just kind of stood there and waited, and it happened a third time. Three little taps on my wrist.
The children's voices seem really common with a lot of people who have gone to this abandoned hospital. And again, like I mentioned, people feeling like somebody's tugging on their clothes. So the presence of children laughing and footsteps and running around just seems to be a really common energy that people feel when they go here.
Up here on the third floor. Now, right here is where I had my most, I don't know how to say, I still can't believe what I saw here. I was here one day giving a tour to a group that was going to come and investigate the place. And we were all standing down there in the hallway, and I turned around and I looked right here in this hallway, and I saw two legs just walk across. No torso, no feet, just two legs. This is the area of the Blue Nun. The only way I captured it was with my eyes. I have no proof, and it bothers me to this day that I actually saw that, because I physically saw that. And I'm like going, how did that happen?
That poor guy, that's like something out of a scary movie. Seeing only legs walking with no feet, no upper body. Come on now. I'd be like, let me out of here.
Going off of information provided by a previous investigator, we target a particular priest.
Is your name Father Arthur?
Whoever we were speaking to seemed interested to know more about us.
If you couldn't really understand that EVP, it's asking, what's your name? So some I couldn't even hear until it's replayed, but then there are others that I hear so clear and I didn't realize it was a disembodied voice until they pointed out, because again, I was thinking it was someone in their group. What would your reaction be on an investigation and hearing voices as you're doing a walkthrough, like someone else is there with you that isn't part of your group? Or if you're asking the spirits to make their presence known by knocking on something and then they actually do what you ask them to do. I wish I would have signed up for an investigation at the abandoned Old Yoakum Hospital back then, because this place obviously has a lot of active spirits inside with lots of history. Again, if you are interested in seeing more footage, I highly recommend going online and searching videos from this hospital. You will definitely find a lot of different videos to watch to keep you busy. I remember sitting and just watching video after video because I love watching paranormal investigations. And just seeing how so many people and so many different groups had experiences here, I wanted to keep watching. I actually wonder if any of the staff at the new location have ever been to the abandoned building. That would be kind of cool to be able to see the original place. I've never been to or traveled through Yoakum, I don't think, but now I feel like if I'm ever going on a trip in that direction, I might make a little stop and just explore this town a bit. How about y'all? Have any of y'all ever been to Yoakum, Texas, from Yoakum, or been to this abandoned hospital before? I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show, or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also be sure to follow us on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast, and subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Anchor. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories.